This episode is sponsored by Podmatch. Imagine your favorite online dating app, but instead of using it for finding dates, you are booking podcast interviews. Podmatch is a software platform that automatically matches ideal podcast guests and hosts together to record high-quality podcast interviews. It doesn't matter if you want to host your own show or you would like to join someone else's show. Podmatch will find the ideal match for you to be a part of. You can message and book your matches without ever exchanging an email and use their built-in calendar integration so you can quickly finalize bookings without having to be involved. Podmatch has generated 45,636 interviews among their 14,241 members. Podmatch has also been featured by Business Insider, Yahoo Finance, and Forbes. So what are you waiting for? You can go to www.joinpodmatch.com/ragacy. I repeat again, www.joinpodmatch.com/ragacy. So we'll see you there and happy matching. Now, before we start the whole podcast running, let me ask you guys a quick question. How many of you are passionate about sharing your unique voice and ideas with the world? Do you dream of connecting with a global audience and sparking meaningful conversations? If so, it's time to take the plunge and start your own podcast. Well, launching a podcast might seem like a daunting task, but fear not, because this podcast host and I got your back. Hi, my name is Rayson, and I'm your host for The Ragacy Show. And in this episode, we've invited an incredible entrepreneur. His name is none other than Alex Sanfilippo. He is the founder of PodPros, a software company specifically focused on independent podcast hosts and their guests to elevate their voices through podcasting and be heard. He and his team at PodPros have developed popular podcasting software services such as Podmatch, which is the sponsor for today, and also at the same time, Podcast SOP and Pod Lottery. In addition, he is also the host of the top-rated podcast, Podcasting Made Simple, and he is one of the most sought-after educators and public speakers in the podcasting industry. Well, without further ado, let's welcome Alex into the podcast. Woohoo!
Rayson, thank you so much, man. I really appreciate you having me here. It's truly an honor, and thank you for the warm introduction, man. That was great. I appreciate it.
Oh, wow. Thank you so much. And, you know, I've been using Podmatch for a while already, and I'm really loving it. And for all of you who are tuning in, you guys who are into podcasting, you guys should actually try out Podmatch, because it is one of hell of a best matching system. It's like Tinder, where you get to match hosts and the podcast guests for you. And wow, I really enjoyed using this Podmatch, and it has served me a lot. And people like Gil Petersil, which I've seen on stages, people like Robert Rilpel, who has always been in Money Mind Intensive with all the other amazing greats like T.R. Factor and all, has also been on Podmatch as well. So I got hold of them just because of this platform. And thank you so much for creating such a powerful website for both podcasters and hosts, man. Really appreciate it. And how have you been, Alex?
Man, first off, thank you for all that. I appreciate it. It's all, I have to pinch myself every time I hear anybody say anything close to that, which you said was just so kind. So thank you. It's like, I don't know how we'll get into it today, I think. So I don't fully know how it happened. That's a disclaimer before we even get started. But to answer your immediate question now, I'm doing great. Really enjoying it. I live in Jacksonville, Florida, and I love the heat. Some people are like, ooh, that's hot. I love it. I spend most of my time outside. Anytime I'm not doing something podcasting related, I'm outdoors. Let's put it that way. So it's my season right now, being as warm as it is. So just having a great time, man.
Oh, nice. Well, we'd love to go and visit Florida when the time comes. Most likely will be next year. I would love to go to the States and meet up with all of you in the States. Well, it will be a real pleasure, and I'm pretty sure it's going to be a hell of fun when we meet up in Florida for sure. As well.
Definitely yeah, will be. And show up for a PodFest. By the way, PodFest is in January every year. It's my favorite podcasting conference.
Oh, yes.
And okay. Yeah, there you go. So write it off as business, and then we'll hang out. I look forward to that.
Okay, cool. And also at the same time, when you are coming to Singapore, just let me know, and I'll actually bring you around and let you taste the best chicken rice and chili crab over here.
I love wow. it. I look forward to that day as well. So I can't wait.
All right. All right. Okay. Awesome. And Alex, can you, because I'm pretty sure, you know, people in Asia and especially in Singapore, not many of them would know you. So can you share with the audience a little bit more about who you are and what you do?
Yeah. So first off, again, I'm living in Jacksonville, Florida. I'm actually born and raised here, and I still love this city. When I turned 18, I tried to leave and went a few places, ended up realizing, oh, I actually love it here. So I ended up staying. So I'm married to my wife, Alicia. She's also my business partner. And let's see, outside of podcasting, because I know we'll talk about that a lot. I got to make sure that everyone knows I've got a life outside of that. We're both soccer players. She's a better soccer player than I am, but I do my best to keep up. And we both play in leagues and stuff like that. And that's some of the stuff that we love. We also spend a lot of time at the beach. We live just a few minutes from the ocean. And so we just love being out there any chance we get. And that's like a little bit more kind of about me being raised here and raised by a family of entrepreneurs as well, which has just kind of helped foster kind of how I've ended up the way I have. But yeah, that's a little bit more kind of about me.
Okay, cool. Wow, nice. And before we dive into the main focus of our interview, we would love to actually get to know you a bit better. So, Alex, can you tell us a bit about your journey and how you actually got started in the podcasting world?
Yeah, sure, Rayson. First off, the first time I tried to start a podcast, I totally failed. I think that a lot of people have that story. But I think in the I don't know why, Rayson, but the years start getting fuzzy. And maybe that's just a thing. But I believe it was 2014 was the first time I launched a podcast. I lasted a few episodes and hated it, had no real strategic initiative. I had no idea what I was doing. I was just trying it out. And it was years later that I actually came back into it and actually gave it a shot for real. And so I consider that second time my real start in podcasting. Interestingly enough, I don't know if this was brilliance, Rayson, or if this was just me. I don't know. Maybe I just fell into it. But I decided I wanted to be an entrepreneur. Instead of I took a break from entrepreneurship for a long time. I did a 15-year sprint in big corporate. I worked in the aerospace industry. And when I was like thinking I was ready to leave, I started trying things, side hustles, right? Just like random little things to see what would work. And everything I did would fail. And I was like, man, maybe I'm not cut out to be an entrepreneur anymore. Like maybe I'm just a corporate guy. But I wanted to make sure of that. So what I decided to do is I needed coaching. Didn't feel like paying for coaching. So I decided to start a podcast to bring on really smart people who had successfully left a 9-to-5 job to become a full-time entrepreneur and to talk to them about how they did it. And I was like, the benefit to me is I get my coaching, but also to the world is maybe I can take people along with me in that journey. And so that's what got me started in the podcasting space as a podcaster. And the interesting thing that happened is, well, two things. One, I realized I wanted to be an entrepreneur, right? I found out how to do it. Like I learned that through my guests, but two, I found out I wanted it to be in podcasting, which isn't what I expected. I didn't set out to become a full-time podcasting industry guy. I just knew I wanted to be an entrepreneur, but through having my show, through the abundance mindset, through meeting people like you, Rayson, I've like learned like, man, I love this group of people. Like these are great people. They're great hosts. They've got that abundance mindset. They're going places. I want to be part of that in a bigger way. And so again, when I learned to become an entrepreneur, I decided, hey, I wanted to be in podcasting. And so that's really what got my start in the whole space.
Oh, nice. Wow, I love your journey, man.
Thank you.
It's really good to know that, oh, you actually hated it at first, but then slowly you realize that, hey, this is really good. It's not just making you some income, but also at the same time, it is getting you, I would say, the passion to share more with the world in a sense. But I'm pretty sure, you know, when you were building your podcast or even building your business as an entrepreneur, I'm pretty sure you have met some failures in a sense, right?
So, of course, yeah.
Right, Alex, can you tell me, like, do you have a favorite failure of yours? And how has that failure or apparent failure set you up for later success?
Yeah, this is a great question, Rayson. I'm glad that you're asking this. First off, in the moment, none of my failures were a favorite. they were all like a least favorite, right? So like when they were happening, I'm like, this is the worst thing ever. And then later you realize, wait a minute, that wasn't such a bad thing, right? And that's what ends up happening. And so for me, the one I'll share that I think will relate really well to what we're talking about here today is kind of like a failing forward situation. So when I launched that show I was talking about, where I wanted to learn to become an entrepreneur, I also launched what was called the Creating a Brand Community along with it. It was a paywalled community where people who wanted to learn this stuff together on a higher level would be able to do that. So we had some like gated content and stuff. And now there's a lot of podcasts that have subscription-based feeds. So it's like you have the main podcast everyone listens to, but they also have the private one that people pay. I was trying to do that years before that was a thing. And really just the world wasn't ready for it yet, right? And really, I didn't know how to do it. But I built out this community. I paid decent money to get into a community building platform that wasn't big social media. It's actually called Mighty Networks. And I got in with them very early. Yes. And so I made the investment and started the community, put all this work into it. And man, I got crickets. There was a ton of people listening to the podcast, tons of people reaching out, but nobody wanted to pay for anything from me. And I really thought that, you know, I was like, man, that was going to offset my whole cost of this podcasting thing. That way I could focus on building a business as well. Right. And it was just a lot of wrong mentality, a lot of wrong mindsets. But I felt once again like a failure, even though I was like learning to become an entrepreneur. I felt like I had failed. If you don't mind, Rayson, I'd like to share what ended up happening with that community, though. That might be helpful. So when it comes to failing forward, I mentioned that. So we have the Pod Pros community. It's where we run our virtual events. It's where we run everything. I'm using that same Mighty Networks channel. Now, the big failing forward piece is I got in really early. Their pricing has 10 or 20x since I got into it. And thankfully, I have a thriving business, so that cost wouldn't necessarily, and I'm very thankful and humbled to even be able to say this, but that cost wouldn't necessarily cripple us or anything like that. But the fact is, we're paying almost pennies on the dollar for what most people are paying. I mean, just crazy amounts of money for now. So like the long-term benefit was I bit the bullet and made an early investment on something that didn't work, but later on, here I am years later, still using that same community. I just repurposed it to something different and that made it work. And that's why I love talking about failures, because most of my failures in my life are a fail forward situation. Now, obviously we've all made some dumb, bad choices and hopefully we just learned that the benefit of those is you just don't do it again. Right. But in general, it comes to these business things. It's like, man, that failure sucked. It made me feel like maybe I shouldn't do this podcast, but I decided to stick with it. And here I am years later, reaping the benefit of that failure, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I understand where you're coming from, especially, you know, failing forward is always the thing that many successful entrepreneurs have been through. Especially like for yourself, you actually went through Mighty Networks and then you thought that it will have a lot of people coming to you and to buy and to purchase some subscription from you, but then somehow or other it wasn't really what you expected, and then slowly and surely, you know, you repurposed it again and then pop, that's where you got your success from there, because that's where, you know, people are listening. And I'm also part of Mighty Networks as well, and I join in. I really enjoyed the whole conversations that you guys have over there, the polls and all the amazing tidbits, bite-sized info that is over there as well about podcasting and many other things as well, which I really enjoyed myself over there. And for those of you who are podcasters, you guys should also check out Mighty Networks as well. It's really, really interesting. It's a really great platform for you to actually network. It's like a really close-knitted community in a sense.
Yep, exactly. Yeah, that's what I love about it. It's powerful.
Yeah. Yep. And Alex, can you share with us like who is the one that impacted you so much in terms of your business, your entrepreneurship journey and podcasting journey as well? And what's the best piece of advice you've ever received from them?
So I knew this question was coming. This is one of the few questions I knew was going to be coming. And Rayson, I can think of two, if that's okay. I know it should only be one, but I got to share two, if that's okay. And the reason I got to share two is because one of them actually comes from a former guest of yours. You had Amy Scruggs on the podcast. For anyone who wants to check that out, I encourage you pause this episode. If you're watching it live, I'm sorry, but pause it if you can. Go back to episode 149, aired on March 8th, 2023, Amy Scruggs, and she talked about what if it all goes right. And she's been someone who's really spoken into my life. I listened to that episode. You did a great job interviewing her. And again, I encourage everyone to go back and check that out. But she talks about what if it all goes right. And I think that so many of us, we have these little micro failures along the way. I know we just talked about like one of my bigger ones, but we talked like having micro failures, just like some stuff just doesn't seem to be going right. And I think that we can't have the perspective that it's always going to go right, you know, but what we can say is that we can focus on the positive and say, what if it does all go right? Like what could happen, right? Having that abundance mentality, that mindset of this, hey, this small failure, this could turn into something great. What if it does? Right. And I think that if we can all adopt what Amy shared, she has a beautiful song about that as well, which you can go find. Yes. I think it's actually called What If It All Goes Right. But anyway, she's just been a great mentor and so positive, so encouraging to me. It like relieves stress. And so I think that the first thing we have to do is that. And the second thing I'll mention, thank you for giving me two, by the way, Rayson. I appreciate you.
No worries.
The second one is I learned it from a guy named Scott O'Neill. He has a book called Be Where Your Feet Are. The concept of this is to simply be where your feet are. And what that means is when I'm with this interview right now, I'm not thinking, oh man, how many other calls do I have today? Or when I'm out with my wife, I'm not like, what does work look like tomorrow? Am I talking to Rayson tomorrow or is that Friday? Right? Like, or if I'm with my friends, it's not being like, man, I got so much work to do when I get home. The whole point I'm trying to make here is just wherever your feet are in that moment, be there instead of somewhere else. And I find that's one of the most difficult things for people to do. You can talk to people these days in person. You can see that their eyes are glossed over, not because you're not good at talking or you're boring or anything like that, but it's because they're thinking about there's 10 things I need to do after this. Right? That's what's going on in people's heads. But if we can learn to say, you know what? The rest of that stuff can handle itself later. Right now with Rayson, I'm on this podcast. I'm going to be 110% here. That was very good advice for me because I always struggled with my mind just racing on all the other things I had to do in life. And the truth is that never really stops. You will do that till you end up in a grave. And I don't mean to be negative by saying that, but we've got to learn to say, you know what? Right now I'm here. I'm going to be here. And I'm going to enjoy this moment and make it everything I possibly can. So again, what if it all goes right and be where your feet are? Two things that I've learned from mentors in my life.
Awesome. And it's like what many people have always been saying in present terms, it's be present, right? When you're present, when you're talking and I'm talking and I'm present and I'm listening to it rather than, you know, thinking about, oh, what to ask next? Oh, what to eat next and all this other stuff, right? Then, you know, it will hamper my chances of having a good relationship with you in a sense. And it will have a bad image on myself, because if you were talking and I'm like looking at this and that and thinking about this and that, well, that would be very bad. And I really love the two advices that you have given to us. Really, really, this is something that we need, especially these days when many people are, in fact, affected negatively by the society and even social media as well, in a sense. So, And now, Alex, you know, as a successful entrepreneur and podcast host, can you share with us, like, what are some of the key lessons you've learned along the way?
Yeah. So between being an entrepreneur and podcast host, something that's interesting is the data shows you have a better chance of making it as an entrepreneur than you do as a podcaster. You got about 5% better chance of making it as an entrepreneur than a podcaster, which sounds ridiculous, right? But people don't understand what Rayson puts into this podcast. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. Like, people don't really know what happens once we stop recording, because this is the easiest part for you, right? And then it's the hours before this of prep, understanding me, because you have to do all that research, right? And then afterwards, all the production, all the organization, all it's a lot. It's like running a business in many ways. So what I'll share is actually going back to like when I launched my podcast, you know, how I mentioned, like, I learned how to become an entrepreneur. I'm going to way simplify entrepreneurship, but it does work both for podcast hosts and also being an entrepreneur. So I'll share very briefly. I don't mean to like downplay what I learned from hundreds of amazing people that taught me this along the way, but what it means and how to become an entrepreneur that successfully, it's just a few key things. One, you find an area of passion. You start exploring that area of passion. So maybe that's podcasting, right? Or maybe it's building an online community. Maybe it's starting a soccer league, whatever it might be, right? So you find that area of passion, and then you explore it by getting into the community. So the second thing is you get into the community, which means you don't just guess and think about things. So if I use that soccer, let's use a soccer league as an example. Start going to all the pickup soccer games that are happening in your city. And that's just an example, right? Or go to a podcasting conference, like do those things. So again, one, find that area of passion, explore it by getting into the community. Number two, number three, solve a simple problem that they have, right? Find that simple problem, I should say. So you find that simple problem. Like, what is it that they're struggling with? You might find in your city, going back to that soccer example, oh man, there's just not enough. There's not enough fields, or there's no lights at these fields, right? Like, okay, there's no lit fields. There's none of this or that. It's one of those things. It's like, man, there's simple solutions for that, right? And that's the fourth thing, is to offer the solution to that problem. And I always say, find a simple problem. Like a complex problem would be like, okay, how do we get more ad dollars in podcasting? Like, there's 2.8 million podcasts. How do we quadruple this thing? That's a big problem. Right. I'll be real, Rayson. I don't want to solve that problem. That does not interest me at all. I'll leave that up to smarter, more financially backed people. Let's put it that way, right? But for me, the simple problem, and now I'll share my story here on how this relates to podcasting, was just to basically create a way for people to find guests and for guests to find hosts to be with, right? Like, that to me was a problem. Like, oh, wait, we can do that. We can solve that problem, right? So again, like, the key thing that I've really learned is to find your passion, get into it, right? Join the community that's part of that. Find the simple problem they're struggling with and offering the simplest solution you possibly can to that to see what happens. And that's how you become a successful entrepreneur in my mind. And again, I really simplified that, but I hope that's really helpful for somebody today.
Yeah, it's definitely helpful. I mean, like, a lot of times many people thought that, you know, being an entrepreneur, you just need to find something that can earn you the most money and that's it. But what if you don't like it? What if the community of people that you are with ain't somebody or someone that is inspiring you? So that's why you need to find that community of people that you really love, trust, and even respect. And that's why, you know, I'm part of this PodMatch community, because I find that, well, I have so many people that I really love, I really trust, and I really respect, especially like you, Alex. You have built such a wonderful community and wonderful website for everyone to actually enjoy, and not just enjoy in matching with one another, but also at the same time enjoy in the conversations thereafter as well.
Yeah, and for sure. That's my favorite part, by the way. I love that. I love seeing the long-term relationships that get built. Like, you see companies later and partnerships that get built, and it's like, man, they just met on our platform, right? And now they're building a massive empire together. Like, I love that stuff. Or they're just friends, right? Like, people hanging out that met through a platform. Like, I digress, but that is like one of my favorite things about it. So thank you for bringing that up.
Oh, you're most welcome. I mean, relationships is important in business and in life and in human relationship as well. In order to thrive, you need another person to help you, to guide you, as well as to pull you up from the grave, right? So it's the same thing as, you know, podcasting. We need people like you. We need people like all these podcast hosting sites to help us as well. If there's no podcast hosting sites like Spotify for podcasters, or even Anchor or anything like that, then we wouldn't have podcasts at all. We would only be using Apple, and that's it.
I use Buzzsprout, so I'm very thankful for those hosting provider platforms. I absolutely thankful, because it doesn't work without them. That's how this whole thing works. So
it's like a chain of relationships that we are in. And Alex, you know, now to the main focus of our interview, right? So can you share a memorable moment or experience from your podcasting journey that had a significant impact on you?
Yeah, I'm going to go back to my earliest one. So I'm going to go back to my prior show. Like, now I know my show is Podcasting Made Simple. I'm going back to Creating a Brand, which, by the way, is the same feed. So I just changed the name, and the first 158 episodes are still, they'll say Creating a Brand, and they're like slightly different format. They're for entrepreneurs, but still worth listening to. But anyway, I think I was like maybe 110 episodes in. And at that point, I hadn't heard too much from my listenership, other than me reaching out to them and talking to them, which I know we'll probably get into that a little bit later. But I had somebody out of nowhere just reach out. And it was just like a message on, I believe it was on Twitter is where it was, or on Instagram. And she wrote this long thing about how she had been in a work environment where she was working for an entrepreneur, and she was kind of like the right hand, right? But it was like verbally abusive, and there was a lot of just bad things happening. And she shared all that, and she's like, I don't even expect a response. I just want to let you know, like, last week I quit and have already started my own thing. And I've been listening to your podcast as a primary motivation for getting me through this time and encouraging me to finally like make this leap. And I was like, man, and she was like a single mom and stuff. And dude, I was like, I read it like 100 times before I responded. And I'm just like, no way. Like, I'm like, it wasn't me, you know, obviously it's the talent on there. I just built the platform and interviewed the person, but she's like, hey, I want to let you know, like, this changed my life. I was in an abusive working relationship, and now I am thriving as an entrepreneur by myself based off what I learned through your show. And I was like, that's exactly why I launched this thing. And man, that to me had, I told myself that moment, I'm like, I'll never stop. Now I'm doing this forever, right? Like, I don't ever need anything else. Like, I'm good to go. And that was a really significant thing for me. I can't even remember her name. And that's, I think maybe I just responded like something really short. Like, we didn't like build a relationship or anything like that, but I never forgot that conversation I had with that person. So that was like a really memorable moment for me.
Wow, that's amazing. I really love this kind of, you know, this kind of interaction and this kind of conversation that our listeners have with us, because these are really something that sparked us to do even more podcasts. Because of this, it really inspires us to keep on going and never stop inspiring all these people around us. Because I also have a fair share of people that actually shared the same stuff with me. Like, earlier on, before we started the podcast, you already shared so much of positive feedback about my podcast, which I was like, yeah, wow, damn. And you still remember, you know, the episode number with Amy. I was like, holy cow. And even the month as well, I was like, oh, Jesus Christ, this is a hardcore follower. and yeah, but I'm really grateful, you know, and really blessed to have, you know, all these positive feedbacks. And they're not just from Singapore, but they're from around the world as well, that have given me such feedbacks. And I really just feel so thankful for this. And, you know, Alex, is really my honor and pleasure to have you here, and really grateful for your positive comments as well. And, you know, after listening to this, I'm pretty sure many people will be asking, Alex, should I launch my own podcast? Well, what would you say?
I knew this question was coming up. I'm telling you, like, anytime podcast message is like, wait, hold on. Should we launch a show? Right. That's always what comes up. I think, right. Yes. 100% at time of recording. Yes. I might not say that in 5 years from now, who knows, but I think I still would. And here's why I go so quick to say yes. It's because this is interesting data in podcasting. There are technically 2.8 million podcasts when we're recording this, and there, so people are like, oh, wow, it sounds really saturated. But at any given time, there's no more than 400,000 active. And every year, if you look at it in a running 12 months, it stays about 400,000. 200,000 people stop, 200,000 new people start. And so there's really not a lot of people podcasting. As a matter of fact, Rayson, you and I consider, we're independent podcasters. They're doing interviews, right? Like, I'd say we're like in the same boat with how we do our shows. I just did all the data on this. There's only 34,000 of us that are doing this at a point where it's reached some sort of influence and impact and even driving revenue for some people. Like, there's only 34,000 of us. And it's like, okay, that's not that many when you think about how fast listenership is climbing. And the number one thing I get asked, by the way, when it comes to podcasting at conferences and stuff, is like, hey, is podcasting a healthy industry right now? And the answer is always yes. And you only have to look at one metric: is listenership growing? If listenership is growing, it's healthy. That there's no other, you don't have to look at anything else. So for me, once again, knowing that there's only 34,000 of us actually giving this thing a real shot, and the listenership is like, I mean, it's climbing so rapidly. I can't even remember how many hundreds of millions of people are listening right now. And next year it's expected to be way higher than it even is now, because it's becoming more accessible for people. So again, to answer the question, yes, you should start a podcast if you have a message, you have something that you want to get out to the world, something else that isn't already being done, that you feel like, you know what, like this would really serve somebody. If that's you, I say yes, and there's never been a better time to start.
Right, right. It's always now or never, right? Rather than, you know, tomorrow and the tomorrow will never end, right? So that's why we should be starting now. And for those of you who are tuning in, if you are actually interested to start your own podcast, then this next question is going to help you a lot. Why? Because this question is about the gears of podcasting. So Alex, can you share with us, like, what are the gears that you will actually recommend to new podcasters?
Yeah, Race, I'm glad that you direct it here, because yeah, that's the thing. People are like, okay, I should start one. Oh no, I need a mic. I need a camera. I need this. Right? Like, I need all these things. You don't actually need all that much. I suggest, though, nowadays, making a little bit of an investment. So get yourself some good earbuds, get a webcam, get a microphone. If it's just you and you're just trying it out and you're like really not sure that you even want to do it, and you have a decent, more modern computer at this point or laptop, you'll have a built-in webcam and mic that's pretty good. As long as you can get in a room, an environment that it won't be super like echoey or a lot of noise, then give it a shot, right? You can do that. There's no problem with that. If you have a little bit to invest, I recommend going with a USB mic, USB webcam. That's what I use. I'm using what I consider to be my forever gear, and it's all USB based. I literally just plug it in. Actually, for anybody who is interested in seeing like this, if you're watching the video version of this, or you want to see like what my quote unquote home studio looks like, if you just go to podpros.com/setup, it is a full walkthrough, but also I broke down literally everything I use in the room and where you can get it. I'm not using affiliate links or anything like that. I just try to put it out there for people. But yeah, you don't need as much as you'd think. So really, if you have some sort of camera for video and a microphone for audio and a way to record, you're good to go. And there's a lot of really simple ways to record. Most computers have something built in for that. You can use Zoom. Yeah. You can use Streamlabs like we're using today. I use Riverside.fm. Another great way. I record my solo stuff and interviews there. And it makes it really, really simple. There's not as much work to go into it as there. I mean, when I got started even, it's night and day different at this point. Same with you, Race, and you've been at it for a bit. So like the tech has evolved very quick. So I'm telling you, like, it's not as much as you think. Again, just get the few basic things and get started. One thing I want to encourage people with is focus on continuous improvement. What I mean by that is don't think you have to have the best of the best when you get started. Just start with what you have where you are. Because here's what I've learned, that if you are serving people and the content is good, people will forgive you for the lack of quality. They won't forgive you for the opposite. If you have the best home studio build out on earth, the greatest gear, everything perfect, and your content isn't good, people aren't going to stick with you. So keep the main thing, the main thing, which is to deliver the important stuff, right? And then focus on continuous improvement. You see traction, you like it, invest $200 in a really great mic. And yeah, anyway, I digress on this point, but it really doesn't take as much as you'd think.
Yeah, totally. And do you have any brands that you would recommend for a mic, for example, or camera?
Yeah, sure. Like I said, podpros.com/setup will have like a full like links and stuff like that. Oh, but I use a Shure I'm so bad at the gear. Shure MV7 is what I'm using, which is, again, a USB Shure microphone. Wow. But I like it because of how it, right now my neighbor is doing their lawn, but you can't hear that at all. And if my wife was to talk to me just 10 feet away, you wouldn't be able, not that she's 10 feet away from me, but if she were, you wouldn't be able to hear because the type of mic this is. I love making that investment. Shure MV7 has been great. The camera I'm using is a Logitech 4K. I think it's Logitech 4K Brio is what it's called. It's a beautiful picture. Again, USB, I plug it in and it's good to go. Like, I don't have any setup breakdown. There's no fancy gear here. It's all really simple stuff. But those are the things I really have enjoyed. And then I mentioned Riverside for recording, Buzzsprout for my hosting platform, and that's all I need.
Yeah, totally. Just some simple setup and we are good to go. And Alex, I just want to ask you, right, you know, there are definitely people who are fearing of making mistakes in a sense, especially when they're new, right? So can you tell us, like, what are some common mistakes you see new podcasters making and how can they avoid them?
Man, there are a lot of these, a lot of them. I'll go with if it's cool, I'll share like top three based off of data, if that's okay.
Sure.
So I'm a bit of a data guy. I try not to be too much, but I do like knowing what's going on. The number one cause of failure in podcasting that people get wrong is understanding what it's going to take. Not only understand what it's going to take, but the self-discipline required to keep it going. I mentioned what Rayson's doing here is a labor of love. Sure, he may get something out of it, but at the end of the day, it's a lot of work. Like, you have to, podcasting can be a business. It can be something that leads to great introduction, but at the same time, it can be a hobby, but it is a lot of work on the background. And so the number one cause of failure in podcasting is people don't understand the requirement from a self-discipline perspective that they have to have if they want to succeed long-term. So I'm telling you, the first thing you need to do is truly weigh the cost. Like, be like, okay, this is going to take me some time and I need to just be okay with that. It's going to take me time. It's going to take a lot of my energy. I got to be okay with that. So that's the first thing that causes people to fail, is just the not understanding the self-discipline needed. And the second thing, which is kind of interesting, this was number two. This is data I didn't know, by the way, Rayson. If you would have asked me this same question 3 months ago, I wouldn't have known this. But like, we're getting all these great reports and stuff and being able to figure this out. The second thing is self-care. So number one, self-discipline. Number two, self-care. And this is my worst subject, just so you know. By nature, I'm a guy who I can grind. I can work 24/7. It's not always healthy, right? But like, I can do that. And me I can, too. Yeah, Rayson, I know you and I are similar in this front, right? That's why we hang out. We're going to intentionally be where our feet are, right? So, but anyway, so you have to have some self-care. So you have to have time in your calendar where you say, you know what? I am not going to touch my podcast this Saturday or this Sunday, or in the evenings when I'm with my wife and kids or with my friends. I am not going to podcast. I'm not going to think about it. I'm not going to do it. You have to have that balance of self-care, because if you don't, what happens is, even if you're like me and you're super self-disciplined, if the example, going back to that great thing that really encouraged me, where that lady told me that she left her job, right? And finally started her own thing and got out of that bad relationship, right? Yeah. If I didn't have that happen, perhaps I would have burned out, because it would have been like, oh my gosh, I'm just like running 100 miles an hour and there's no stop in sight. You have to have that balance of self-discipline and also the ability to have some self-care. So that's number two. And the third thing, which I think is what actually leads to traction, the third thing is actually having a niche. It's funny, I say niche, but there's the old saying that riches are in the niches, right? So I don't even know how to properly say that word. But regardless, success in podcasting is also found in the niche that you decide you're going to be involved in. And so the mistake I see people make is, again, those first two things aside, like, we got to get those right. Those are just basic human functions, right? This is a podcasting thing. We cast too wide of a net. Almost every new podcaster I meet, and I was just at a podcasting meetup here in Jacksonville, Florida, a couple weeks ago, and they had every new podcaster get on the mic and say what their podcast is. And every single one of them almost said the same thing. Well, my podcast is really specific. It's for everybody that's breathing, right? And like, I'm exaggerating a little bit, but the point is, their audience was billions of people potentially. And I always say this in podcasting: if you're for everybody, you're for nobody, because nobody is everybody. If you're for everybody, you're for nobody, because nobody is everybody. And you have to pick a niche. You have to narrow it down. The truth is, if you have a podcast that there's only 20,000 people in the world that would ever even be interested in the topic, you found a niche. That is a great space to be. So I always tell people, don't just go broad. Narrow it down the best you possibly can. Get focused on what you're really passionate about, because it isn't everything. It isn't everybody. There's something there, and you have to find it. And if you can, you can do really well. So those are the three things I'd share about mistakes that we need to avoid if you want to make it as a podcaster.
Yeah, totally. Self-discipline and self-care. These two are the primary stuff that we have to ensure that, you know, this whole podcast keep running. Can you imagine if, let's say, the Rag C Show stops before Gary Vee came onto the podcast? I think people will be like nuts. They will call me nuts, and in fact,
I live too far to come. I live too far to come slap you, but someone else would.
Yeah, I know, right? Well, okay, love it, love it. And I also love what you have mentioned on the third part. It's true. I mean, we got to niche it down. It's just like JLD actually told me on the podcast, like, we have to niche it down, niche it until we get it. And it's quite surprising that many people thought that, oh, once you have everybody, it means that they're going to pay you a dollar, you have $1 billion after that. But it's not true. Not everyone are willing to pay you that $1 as well, right? So it's always about who are the ones that you're targeting and the niche that you are in, because people who are in that niche, they will love what you're doing, and they will definitely pay you for your service or for, you know, your subscription fee and whatever not, right?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. And Alex, you know, as a podcaster, right, how do you stay motivated and continue to produce high quality content consistently? I understand that, you know, we have to self-care, we have to be disciplined, but how do you actually stay motivated then? Because sometimes you might almost reach that point of burnout, and you may not be looking at that IG, you know, or Instagram chat or Facebook chat when someone actually praises you for your podcast. You might not stumble upon that. So what will you do?
Yeah, Rayson, this is a good follow-up question. And I'm glad we're going here. For me, and what I say is that you just have to do is you have to return to your why. Your why is the reason for getting into it in the first place. And this kind of is another mistake that early people make. And I didn't do this at first. You've got to have that written down. You've got to have it documented somewhere. You've got to have it simply put in front of you as your reason for getting into this in the first place. And again, I believe that most of us, it's a hobby, it's a passion, it's something that we want to do to serve others, right? And so you need to write down the why for it, because the truth is it's going to be tough some days, right? But your why keeps you going when the times are tough. If you can remember why you're doing it, then you can say, you know what? I can keep on going. The best example I can give, I'm not like trying to go like all religious here, but like I happen to live for Jesus. It's what I do with my life. And Jesus' motivation, going to the cross, right? Like dying for the sins of others. He remembered us, right? He remembered Alex Sanfilippo, and that made it worth it. But if he was just like thinking about the moment, he's like, this sucks. I'm out of here, right? Like, forget this. I'm not doing it. Like, imagine that. The book would be very different, wouldn't it? But I'm eternally thankful for that. But my point is, you have to be able to grab onto something other than what's happening in that moment, which is going to sometimes, I'm not trying to like sugarcoat podcasting for you. There's some low points, Rayson, you know, like points where you're like, oh my gosh, this is just unbelievable amounts of work, right? But if you can return to your why and say, this is why I'm doing this. It's to serve somebody else. I started this of a place of passion. I'm going to keep this going. That's your motivation to say, I can't give up now. This thing's already moving, like it's going. So I always say, have that why handy, have it somewhere where you can see it physically. And man, that just goes a long way.
True. And I believe, you know, Alex, when you say figuring out your why, it's not like so instant that you can actually figure it out, right? How long does it take? Did it take you to actually figure out your why?
Man, it was probably a year, maybe two. I don't know. It was a long time, but it takes a while. Like it's always evolving too. Like as you transform and who you're serving is changing. Like the journey of life, if you will. Like your why is going to change. Listen, when I was 10 years old, my why was to get enough money to go buy a soda on the weekends when my mom took me to the store. Right? That's not my why anymore. Right? So it's always been involved in change, and it should. So it's a living document, something that you're always reviewing and changing. I don't think it's ever going to fully arrive, but given the season you're in, given who you serve today, given the way that you show up today, what is the why behind the what that you're doing? So yeah, I like that you mentioned that, but it's just something that's always got to be changing, evolving. You got to be thinking through.
Yeah, totally. I agree with you on that. And Alex, just wondering, then, you know, we are actually talking about guests earlier as well. So how can podcasters find and book ideal guests for their show?
Yeah, good question, because I know we talked about like the stuff you need. Now, that is one of the that's a big pain point. That's one that I went out to solve, right? People were wondering like, okay, cool, I got all the gear. Where do I find a guest now? I'm biased, but I am going to suggest Podmatch. I'm definitely going to suggest it. And as a matter of fact, Rayson, I know you have an exclusive link that will ensure anyone listening now or in the future will get the best deal they ever can. Remind me, joinpodmatch.com/ what was it? Was it Rayson or the show?
It was Regacy.
Regacy. Sorry. Yeah. joinpodmatch.com/Regacy. Sorry about that. That'll make sure you get the best deal ever. So if you're like, I'm a host, I'm ready to get some guests, that's where I would suggest going, because it's going to make the whole process much simpler. And truthfully, especially when you get started, you're going to find much higher quality guests that will give you a shot than just going through DMs, right? So, and nothing wrong with that necessarily, but it's not my favorite method because it gets a little bit disorganized. So for me, It's all about finding them through, I exclusively use Podmatch now, but using something like this, you can go do some research on your own. There's other tools you can use out there, I'm sure. But what really matters is not just allowing it to be any guest. Make sure it's a guest that aligns with the niche that your show is in. You can't just have on big names because they're big names, right? You can't just have on this person because they seem nice. It's got to be directed towards service of your listenership. So that's what's really important. Also, use your own network. If you know people that are willing to give you a shot and they can be your first five guests, that's what I did. That's great because you're going to be much more comfortable. You'll be able to get your interview skills built up. I always suggest starting with even just a free, before you even launch the show, have a few in your pocket, right? And make that people that you know and kind of start there. So that's my thoughts on it.
Yeah, totally. You guys should go and check out Podmatch, and you guys should actually go and download. I would say go into the website and go and check it out, and then after that, you can get a massive ton of people in there. There are a lot of people those people that I've mentioned, Gil Pedersill, and even people like Alex. Alex will definitely be, willing to come onto your podcast if it aligns with him and his timeline as well, his schedule as well. And definitely he will come on board to share a lot of tips and tricks for podcasting. And it's not just like what he shared here. It might be even more in-depth than what we have over here as well. Well, awesome. And out of curiosity, right, because you way earlier in the podcast, you actually mentioned that you wanted to create something for yourself, a podcast, and then it didn't turn out well, but you slowly fell in love with it, and you found a passion in it, and you decided to build your own podcast. And the thing is this, I'm really curious, what about PodPros and all these software solutions? What made you decide to build all these software solutions specifically for podcasters?
Yeah, it goes back to that framework I shared for becoming an entrepreneur, right? So I found my area of passion was podcasting. I got into the community by starting to speak at all the conferences. And one day I was in Orlando, Florida at PodFest, the event I was just mentioning, about 2,000 people there. And when I got off stage from speaking, I just asked very quickly, I said, hey, anyone who'll talk to me, I'm just going to ask them what they're struggling with. Because again, I was passion, community. I was looking for the problem next. So I just had a piece of paper. I was just writing it down. And I heard a lot of different things, but 100 people said the exact same thing. They said, or I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but I'm having trouble finding the ideal guest for my show. That's what made me decide to get into podcasting was the fact that I found that problem. And I went home and whiteboarded out the quote unquote simplest solution I could come up with, which is like, hey, the dating industry seems to do all right with putting people together. Why can't we do that with podcasting, right? So we just went out there and built that. But that's really what got me started on building that specifically with podcasters. Again, it was my passion. It was my community at that point. I just find problems that they're struggling with that haven't already been solved. And I do my best to solve those as simply as I possibly can.
Awesome. Okay. Oh, nice. Wow. And Alex, podcasting is really a competitive space because we have like thousands of podcasters out there. So can you tell us like what are the strategies that you employ to grow your audience and stand out from the crowd?
Yeah. I mean, first off, I love Mike Michalowicz. He Profit First is his probably his most well-known book, which would be great on this show, by the way. Side note there, okay. But he has a book called Get Different, and it's about marketing. He just talks about doing something different than other people do. So I'll share the three things I do that I think are different. Number one, I reach out to people individually to listen to my podcast. So when I see a conversation happening that is in lines with a topic that I have covered on my show before, I don't say, check this out, right? I'll DM them or message them, build a little bit of a relationship. Be like, by the way, are you really interested in knowing which mic you should be using? Because I did talk with somebody about that who really knows it well. Here's a link to it if you want to check it out. It's like 15 minutes long. That got me one new listener, right? If you do that every day after 365 days, you have 365 listeners. If you have 365 listeners, you are almost in the top 10 percentile of all podcasts, which means you have like that's all it takes. So everyone's looking for these like viral opportunities of like, I'm going to post this and a million people are going to like it. The thing is, man, people are working really hard and year after year, they're getting 5-10 total new listenership and me just one a day, right? Slow and steady wins the race, basically is what I'm saying here. So for me, it's just, hey, but can I just have a conversation? Can I meet somebody and can I bring them into my ecosystem if it makes sense? And if it doesn't, fine, but I'm not there link spamming. I'm just there building a relationship. And I think that works really well. And people kind of downplay that. The second one that I'll mention is to make sure that I share from a place of authenticity and it just being me. So I don't do a lot of graphics. I don't go out and do those things, but I write really meaningful posts about what I'm doing. Right. So I kind of think about it differently. I'm like, man, this was really impactful. Here's what I learned. Here's what I loved about it. I'd love for you to check it out too, if it's interesting. Right. Like I'm paraphrasing it in my mind now. It sounds better when I write it out. Let's put it that way. I'm probably a better writer than speaker. But so I write it out in a way that's just like, it's for my tribe. It makes them like, oh man, this is like, yeah, I love what Alex said here. That might be interesting to me too. So it's not more like it's never new episode out now, fancy graphics. Typically, it's a meme or it's a selfie with me and the guests, right? Like it's something like that. Right. And I just try to keep it really human because I find that converts really well. And the third thing I'll mention is getting really specific, again, going into the niche side of things. Yeah. Make sure that you have content that is written that way. Example, I have a buddy of mine and he's a big name in podcasting and he launched a new show, but they're only putting the guest name as the title of the episodes. And I was like, man, you're missing a huge opportunity. I don't know who this person is. He's like, well, they're famous. A lot of people know. I'm like, that doesn't matter. You should have told me that show is about how to hack your productivity to get 4 extra hours every day. If that would have been the description of the title of your episode and you reinforce it in the description, I might click that. But when I just see a name that I don't recognize, why am I going to click that? So I know this is like a weird like growth idea for a podcast, but if you can get really specific in the show title, the show description, your cover art, your episode cover art, title, and description as well. And you can make sure that someone can see all of that and say, this is definitely for me without even listening. If they can say that and confirm it and it's narrow focused, you're going to grow listenership organically. And my show mostly grows organically. I don't do a lot of work when it comes to marketing, but my show every month is climbing and growing. It's because I'm just getting really good at making sure that I very clearly state what this is, who this is for, and as few words as possible. Because again, people want to listen. They don't want to read, right? They're there to listen. Yeah. So I'm just trying to make as few words as I can. Those have been my growth things that have like really worked well to kind of stand above, if you will, quote unquote, competition or other podcasts that have a similar focus to mine.
Oh, nice. And what about, you know, podcasters like Ed Milet, Joe Rogan, those super huge ones? Do you think, I know this is not from the questions I sent, just out of curiosity, do you think or believe that they actually paid people to help them to market their podcast or even to grow their podcast in a sense?
They probably do. I know for sure that they do. They definitely do. I actually know I'm friends with the company that most of them hire to do that. You would never know it's them. You would probably never see it necessarily. It's very targeted, very specific. But at the same time, those people, nothing against them. They're great. They break all of the rules, but they can because they are outliers in every sense of the word. Some people are like, well, I want to be like Joe Rogan, so I'm going to do what he does. I'm like, I promise you, no one can do what Joe Rogan does. Only Joe Rogan can be Joe Rogan. And he breaks every single rule on podcasting and crushes it somehow, right? And yes, he has millions of dollars going into ad budget every year as well to bring in more listenership, right? So and I don't know about you. I don't have a couple million dollars laying around. Like it's not sitting over there, right? So we just have to get a little scrappier and think a little bit different. Yeah. And really, I'm not saying follow the rules because I'm not someone who subscribes to that, but do things that other people aren't doing, get different with it, and follow what truly has been like left as clues towards success instead of saying, I want to be like Joe Rogan. I'm just going to do what he does because it's just not going to work.
Yeah, totally. I mean, if we try to be like someone else, like you guys trying to be Alex or me or Joe or whoever, it doesn't work that way in a sense. You can't speak like us. You can't command the stage like us. You can't command the audience like us. You shouldn't be like us in a sense. You have to be you. You have to be the authentic you and learn how to, you know, improve on how you can grow your audience by using what Alex have mentioned or even grow your confidence and speaking and all and charisma. And I'm pretty sure people will definitely tune in to your podcast and they will refer your podcast to other people as well. Wow.
That's great, Ray.
Really good. Yeah, love what you have mentioned as well. And you know, podcasting often involves connecting with your audience, right? So Alex, how do you interact with your listeners and how has their feedback influenced your podcast?
Yeah, I'm gonna jump back to years prior instead of now because it's changed quite a bit. Because like I'm an industry guy now, so I podcast about podcasting. So I'm always talking to podcasters, and we've got systems in place to do that. That's still to this day though very important. And the way I like to do it is one-on-one interaction. It's a call like this. It's doing a video conference call. Early on, when I got good at this, and this is what made my show good, by the way, my entrepreneurship show, when it was that, it took off. It did very well. And people were always like, how? It's because I was talking to my listeners. So the way I would do that is anytime someone would like, comment, email, message, engage, anything, if there's any way I can find out who they were, I was reaching out to them and saying, hey, any chance you'd be willing to give me 10 minutes on a call? I just want to ask you a few questions about the show, and I'd love to get to know a listener, right? And I probably articulated it better than that. But I would get on those calls and have an Excel spreadsheet open, and I had very pointed, specific questions I'd ask. One, how did you find the podcast? Two, what do you like most about the podcast? What's something we can do to make the podcast better? And what's something you're struggling with? And I'd ask those questions every single time. Anytime I got a chance to talk to them, I'd document it. So I was able to figure out where I needed to go, what needed to change, what they're struggling with, so I could find out what kind of guests to bring on. And the truth is, my show was like grumpy. Like, how is that happening? I'm like, oh, I'm talking to my listeners. Like, I don't have time to talk to my listeners. I'm like, maybe that's the problem, right? Like, maybe that's the issue. Right. So for me, again, anywhere you see engagement happening, just go for it. Message them. Most will probably not be interested. They might not even respond. It might be creepy to them, right? But some of them that really like your show are like, oh my gosh, I'm a fan. Yes, I'd love to talk to you about your show. And right. Yes, you can get some really valuable information on ways you can improve. So yes, and that builds a fan, by the way. Pretty much, if you have that call with somebody, they're going to be a lifelong listener, which I love. So I suggest doing that. Put time on your calendar. If you're going to do 10-minute calls, do 6 of them. So it's 1 hour a week, right? Tell her, hey, I got Friday from 2 to 3 open. I got 10-minute slots. Which do you want? Give them a way to do it, right? That's a really, really important element. As a matter of fact, I think it's the single most important thing you can do to long-term improve your podcast.
Totally. This is a really good, a really good suggestion and advice for everyone. And even for myself, I'll definitely practice on this in terms of talking to my listeners and get feedback from them. And Alex, as a host, we have to actually prepare a lot of stuff, right? Not just the lighting, not just the gears itself, the questions, if we are asking, people like yourself or Tony Robbins or whosoever in the podcast, we need to get ready and all, right? So can you share with us, like, how do you prepare for your podcast interviews and what techniques do you use to make your guests feel comfortable and share valuable insights?
Number one, be yourself. That is just so, so important. I find a lot of us, again, going back to, I'll use the Joe Rogan example. I feel like Joe Rogan gets brought up on every single podcast. I don't know why. if you come into a podcast trying to be Joe Rogan instead of yourself, you are going to struggle the whole way through. It's very difficult to be anyone other than you. And honestly, you're not good at it. You're only good at being yourself. So like, you got to get comfortable with that. That's the first thing, is get comfortable with being you. Show up with your own personality. And so for me, before I even book a guest, the first thing I'm doing is making sure that Alex Sanfilippo, who I am naturally, my personality is going to gel with them. There are some guests that look really good, but I can tell you they're going to get annoyed by how loud I am, by how fast I talk, by how much I laugh, animated, tell dorky jokes. I could tell they're not going to like that. Therefore, that's not going to be a good interview. And not everyone's a good interview. And knowing that is a really good thing. So for me, I wouldn't bring on a guest I didn't know we had some sort of synergy with. I mentioned Mike Michalowicz earlier. If you go look at, we've done like 3 interviews together. If you watch the first 30 seconds of the latest one, he's like, he has sunglasses on and tiny hands, and I'm chewing gum into the mic. That was the first 30 seconds of our interview. Like, there's no words or anything like that. We both thought it was hilarious. We thought it was funny. If I would have tried that with somebody else, who, again, I didn't pre-vet for that sort of thing, they'd be like, what the heck am I doing here? Why am I with this whack job? Who is this guy, right? So, again, like, making sure that you potentially are going to have that synergy is so important. I'll be real. There was 3 times where I got this synergy wrong between me and a guest, and I never aired those episodes. They were so bad. And I'm a good interviewer. I did my research. I did my time. But our personalities were just so different. They didn't think anything I said was funny, right? They talk really slow. I talk really fast. They had me repeat questions because I said them too quick. Like, all the things, right? And I'm like, I can't air these. These are bad episodes. People that are listening, they listen because they like Alex, right? They're going to stay for the host. And so it needs to align. So the first thing is you got to make sure that you have the right people coming on the show. Past that, you want to really learn who your guest is. The worst thing you could do today, Rayson, if I came on here and you're like, oh, you have a software company? That'd be like, dude, did you not even like Google my name, right? If you were to do that. I was once listening to a podcast episode and the guy is a multiple times best-selling author. And one of the first things he mentioned was, oh yeah, my book, when this came out, he goes, oh, I didn't realize he had multiple books, what the host said. I'm like, oh my gosh. I'm like, your only job is to look up who your guest is. You didn't realize they're like an international, like giant author that most people read all their books, right? Like, but that goes back to my point. You've got to do your research. For me, if I'm going to interview a guest about their book, I'm going to read the book. I'm going to go look at its good reviews. I'm going to go look at its bad reviews. I'm going to look at the conversations they've had about it on other podcasts. I'm going to do all this stuff and go look up their press, everything I possibly can. So when they show up, there's not going to be anything where I'm like, oh man, I didn't know that. If it comes up where I didn't know that, I'll literally be like, dude, I looked into everything you do, Rayson. I don't know how I missed that. Can you talk a little bit more about that? Because my listeners, again, know that's my personality. And they're like, oh, Alex is so funny. I know he did his research, but he missed it, right? They're going to appreciate it. And so will the guest, because they can tell I did my work. So I answered your question very long, and I'm sorry about that. But it's really important to make sure you put the time in, you put the effort in, you know who you are, you know what type of person you gel well with.
Yeah, totally. Or else you will have a very crappy episode that's going to be recorded. And, you know, as we're coming to the end of the podcast, I have one last question for you, and that is this. Okay? How has podcasting evolved since you started? And what do you see as the future of this medium?
Man, the future is frictionless podcasting is the way I'm going to say it. I think someone has that coined. I don't know who that company is, but I think I've heard that as a company before. But frictionless just meaning like there's not going to be a lot of things that hold us back. Like we talked about the gear earlier, man, when I got started, one, asking someone to be a guest, everyone was like, why the heck would I ever be a guest on a podcast? That was the normal response. Like, no, I don't want to be on anyone's podcast. This is the dumbest thing ever. It's going to be gone in a year anyway. Right. And now there's 400,000 active podcasts and there's 12 plus million actively looking to be guests. Like it's crazy, right? It's just changed completely from that. People are seeing the opportunity. Big media is talking about it. These are all really great things for the medium, and it's getting easier. So for me, I think it's got a really bright future. It's really exciting. It's become more and more frictionless. The only problem I see is with less friction comes less buy-in. With less buy-in comes less people that are going to stick with it. If it takes me 20 minutes to start a podcast, it takes me 5 to stop, right? If it takes me 9 months to launch a podcast with all the gear, I'm going to give it a little bit more of a shot because I put so much effort into it. So we're going to see more and more pod fade happen, which just means people starting and stopping as quickly as they start, right? But we're also going to see people who want to make it have the opportunity to thrive in a way they never have before because the tools, the resources, the know-how, the audience, everything is there. So again, a bright future for those of us that are willing to have the self-discipline to make it happen.
Oh, nice. Yep, I totally agree with you on that it's going to thrive. It's going to be progressive. It's not going to decline like NFT had. But,
right, yeah, yeah.
right. But it's definitely for the win, I would say. So for those of you who want to be a podcaster, you can go and check out this episode that we have spoken a lot about. And of course, Alex resources as well, which is in the caption below as well. And also at the same time, Alex, I would like to ask you, can you share any exciting plans or upcoming projects related to your podcast or any other ventures that you have?
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity, Rayson. The last thing I'll mention here is I'm big on helping people avoid pod fade, which again is just people starting and stopping. I hate it when someone with a passion, a purpose, a desire to serve stops. And so this is my first time announcing this, but we just created what's called PodScore, podscore.io. It's a personality test for podcasters. And the idea is it'll tell you which of the 12 podcaster personality types you have based off all the data. But in addition, it'll give you your likelihood of success as you're doing it right now, but also a roadmap that's customized to you based off of how you answered the questions to tell you here, you know, the little things you can change along the way to ensure that you're going to make it become what we call an actively established podcaster. And as I talked about earlier, that's one of those 34,000 podcasts. This is going to work best for people between 8 and 50 episodes, by the way. So you have between 8 and 50 episodes taking this. You should be able to get some really valuable data from it. I'm super excited about it. I think this is actually the thing that I've built that will leave the mark in podcasting, if you will, right? Like, and I'm most excited about this out of anything I've ever done. So podscore.io, this is my first time ever talking about it. So thank you for the platform, Rayson. I appreciate it.
Hey, you're most welcome. Wow, we are so excited to upon listening to this, we are so excited, man. I mean, I'm so excited to actually try that out, that website out. Even though I know my type will be quite of the hustler type, but yeah, I'm really looking forward to this. And well, for those of you who are tuning in, do go to podscore.io and get yourself checked to see if you are any of those types of the podcasters. And with that, I'd like to thank Alex for all the golden nuggets that he has dropped in this podcast and his time over here to share with us everything about podcasting. And also to the followers and the listeners who are tuning in to this podcast, I'm really grateful for all of you for tuning in and also been supporting the podcast ever since its inception. I really, really appreciate you guys. And with that, I would like to wish everyone a great evening ahead and stay tuned for the next episode of the Ragged Sea Show, because we're going to have a lot of amazing guests that are coming on to the podcast. Okay, we're going to have a president candidate that's coming on board the podcast real soon. Say, not just Singapore president, but also United States of America president candidate that's coming on board real soon this year. Okay, so stay tuned for that. All right, so with that, take care and have a good evening and a great day in whichever country you are at. Okay, so bye-bye.
Thank you, everyone, for listening to another episode of The Ragged Sea Show. I hope it has enlightened you. I hope it has brought you to an epiphany where you realize that this is where you want to go and this is what you want to do. So I hope you will continue to support and also at the same time like, comment, and share this episode out to your people, to your family, your friends. And not forgetting that we have just created a Telegram group. It's called the Ragged Sea Show Family. So you can go and check it out and let us know how you find this group is serving you. Alright, so with that, I would like to thank you once again. See you and stay tuned for another episode of the Ragged Sea Show.